4. It took Eddie almost an hour and a half, and in the cause of brevity, he did skip some of the things that had happened to them. By the time he'd finished, a premature night had settled on the lake below them. And still the threatening storm neither broke nor moved on. Above Dick Beckhart's cottage, thunder sometimes rumbled and sometimes cracked so sharply they all jumped. A stroke of lightning jabbed directly into the center of the narrow lake below them, briefly illuminating the entire surface a delicate nacreous purple. Once the wind arose, making voices move through the trees, and Eddie thought, "It'll come now. Surely it'll come now." But it did not. Nor did the impending storm leave, and this queer suspension, like a sword hanging by the thinnest of threads, made him think of Susanna's long, strange pregnancy, now terminated. At around 7 o'clock, the power went out, and John looked through the kitchen cabinets for a supply of candles, while Eddie talked on. The old people of River Crossing, the mad people in the city of Ludd, the terrified people of Calibrin Sturgis, where they'd met a former priest who seemed to have stepped directly out of a book. John put the candles on the table, along with crackers and cheese and a bottle of red Zinger iced tea. Eddie finished with their visit to Stephen King, telling how the gunslinger had hypnotized the writer to forget their visit, how they had briefly seen their friend Susanna, and how they had called John Cullum because, as Roland said, there was no one else in this part of the world they could call. When Eddie fell silent, Roland told of meeting Chevin of Chavin on their way to Turtleback Lane. The gunslinger laid the silver cross he'd shown Chevin on the table by the plate of cheese, and John poked the fine links of the chain with one thick thumbnail.